Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And just as I say every week, and I'll continue to say it, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. We're going to continue our series today entitled The Fear of God. And I know what you're thinking or what you could be thinking. You hear that statement and some of you can check out right away. Like, I don't want to fear him, or I do fear him and I don't understand what that means. And it can be a scary thing. Like, I do fear him. I'm hiding. Or you don't understand what it means to fear him. I'm a visual learner. Do we have any other visual learners in the room? Like, you show me and I remember it, or it's ingrained in my mind. I can learn it. As a matter of fact, I love IKEA instructions. Some people hate IKEA instructions because it's pictures. Like, people that do construction hate IKEA instructions. They can't get them. Like, my father-in-law built his house pretty much, and he can't follow an IKEA instruction to save his life. He can't actually follow instructions. I was really sick, and my wife got me a smoker for our 10-year wedding anniversary, and it got delivered to the house, and she couldn't get it in the house, as a matter of fact, and I couldn't lift it either. This was years ago, and she's like, I'm going to have my dad come over and put it together, and it was killing me to not be able to put it together. I said, okay. And I was laying on the couch with an IV in my arm, and he was putting it together in the dining room because I couldn't watch. And I was like, babe, just make sure he follows the instructions. And he was done. And I went into the dining room, and the wheels were on the wrong side. And it was a little crooked, and she looked at me. She said, go into the living room. And I was like, just have him fix it. And Deb, being Deb, didn't do it. She's like, Jim, the wheels are wrong. Because he didn't follow the instructions. But anyways, there were pictures. So I'm a visual learner. Here we go. This over here. This is fearing God. You good? What is this? Oh, I like fear of God. This is fear of God. Fear. Okay? This over here, knowing God. You good? What's this one?
Knowing God.
Me, right here. This is us. Okay? Some of us, we know God. We know who He is. We have an understanding. Some of us, we fear Him. Maybe we're hiding from Him. We're scared of Him. We don't understand what it means to fear Him. Or we have this unhealthy fear of Him. These two things were not created to be separate. We were not created to be separate from knowing Him and fearing Him. These two things were created to be together so we could have a healthy understanding of who God is and knowing Him, so that when we fear Him, it's out of a reverence and understanding and a healthy place. Because when we truly know Him, we want to respect Him, bring a reverence to His name, and serve Him in a way that honors Him. There are so many things in this world that we should have fear for, but we don't. Or that we do have fear for, but we really don't show it. You want some illustrations, some examples to really drive the point home? Here we go. Like processed sugars or high-fat foods. We should fear those things, but we don't. Right? example. The world was in a whirlwind when they stopped making Twinkies. Remember Twinkies? They stopped making them. People went bonkers. Like, I can't get Twinkies anymore. I even thought about it. I couldn't remember the last time I had a Twinkie, and I was like upset. Like, I can't get one of those anymore. I had a guy that, there was a guy that worked at the church, Austin Gerback. He worked at the church. He's married to Pastor Rick's daughter now. He literally was upset. He went and bought all of the Twinkies he could find and stocked his snack drawer. People revolted, and then they brought Twinkies back. Do you remember this? We should have a fear of Twinkies. You can literally leave it in your car for 10 years, and it looks exactly the same. Still a Twinkie. Same with McDonald's, although a McDouble is ridiculously good. Something about them that's like my guilty pleasure every once in a while. Double cheeseburger is better because you get two pieces of cheese. If you didn't know that. McDouble is different from a double cheeseburger because you get two pieces of cheese. Here we go. Exercise. Lack of exercise. We should fear that, but we don't. We should, but we don't. It's the same with God. We say, yes, I fear God, but does our life speak that? Does our life show it? If we say we fear God, when people look at our lives and see us, that's what they should see. We miss out on things by our lack of commitment and our lack of our relationship with God. Is our relationship with Him of a sober mind? Is it moving forward? Let me drive this point a little bit further home. You ready? Our lives should represent what we're preaching or showing. My dad, 35 years in the mill, smoked four packs a day in his heyday. That's 80 cigarettes a day. If you saw my dad, he always had a cigarette in his hand. Not always in his mouth. Sometimes he just held it out of comfort. It was just burn. Marlboro Reds. I remember he was at the doctor's, and my mom worked for the doctor. She was the office manager after she stopped nursing, and the doctor would tell him, Mike, you got to quit smoking or you got to quit drinking coffee, one or the other. We're at that point. And he's like, Doc, I'm not doing either. I can't have a cigarette without a cup of coffee. I can't have a cup of coffee without a cigarette. They were sitting in the back kitchen smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee when the doctor was telling him this. I'm like, something's off here, Doc. Like, you can't be doing what you're telling him to do. Why am I saying that? We as the church, we as connection groups, we as individuals, if we're going to tell people to live this way and do this and have a healthy fear of God, we should be walking it out together. This is Sean. Sean's a part of my connection group, our connection group, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at my house. We had a great connection group on Wednesday evening. Starts at 7 o'clock, ends at 8:15. Last person left at 11:15. Okay? Sean was there for the first time. Had a great conversation about the fear of God. Had a great conversation about what we're preaching this week. His life is an example of what we're talking about today. Does he fail? Absolutely. Do I fail? Absolutely. But are we walking in lockstep together as brothers? Yep. If he fails, he tells me. If I fail, I tell him, and we're walking together. And there's other men within this group. Greg's there, just started. There he is. He loves Winston, my puppy. Winston doesn't love him yet, but we're getting there. We're trying. French fries on the front porch. Give them a French fry when you walk in. Unity. Healthy fear of God. We're building it as brothers. Go ahead and sit next to your wife again. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. That's the whole story. Whose story? Solomon. He didn't finish well. He summed up a whole bit of his life, and he just wants people to know this. How, here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. This is for everyone. This is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. His whole life, he summed it up to this. Just fear God and obey his commands. That's it. Do it. Didn't go through every little bit of things that he could have. He just said, fear God, obey his commands. Bring reverence to his name. Live in awe of God. God will judge everything you do. What does it mean to be judged? To process, to have a procedure, to have a litigation before judges. Do you ever stand before a judge before? I have. My lawyer was sitting in the second row, right where Brian is now. He represented me and Rachel. Everybody's like, what did Pastor Nick and Rachel do? It was an adoption proceeding. It was a good thing. But I remember how thankful I was that I had representation. And Rachel had representation. Because there were some big words that that judge was saying, and I was like, Lawyer Larry got it. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father pleading your case. You have representation. You have a litigator speaking on your behalf. But what's the judge going to say? Let's be honest. Judgment day's coming, and it'll make you sober. Today we're going to continue talking about the fear of God, and the big idea of this whole entire series is love what God loves. We talked about that last week. Today we're going to talk about hate what God hates, and next week we're going to talk about live as if we will stand before God and give an account, which we know we will. Father God, speak to all of our hearts today. Help us to fully understand what it means to walk in fear of you, and give us an understanding of what the statement means to hate what you hate. And how do we walk that out? In Jesus' name. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved. Who's the beloved? Us. I even gave you, I helped you cheat. I gave you this. As you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure. What does that mean to work out your salvation? Are you supposed to like take it to the gym, throw it on the bench, let it squat, let it do a couple rounds on the treadmill or the elliptical? Like, do you take your salvation out of your pocket and just let it, like, here you go, salvation. Just work out for a little bit, hit the sauna up afterwards. What does that mean? And how does it mean that you're supposed to work it out in fear and trembling? Let's talk about this a little bit. Thank you all for asking. I'm really excited because if you didn't ask, we could have just packed it up and gone home. But we need to work out our salvation. Paul's calling the Philippians to put forth some real effort to put their hand to the plow in their Christian lives, not to just mail it in and sit back. To work, to labor, to achieve something, to bring about success. And to do so with fear and trembling, to have a cause and a result, fight or flight. Now, I looked up the word trembling, and it equals trembling. That's what it means, to tremble. I find it interesting that it doesn't say work out your salvation with peace and joy. Work out your salvation with love and celebration. No, there should be a, I need to do this. I need to make sure that I am doing something with what God gave me. This gift cannot go unused. Paul's writing from prison. This whole letter is pretty upbeat, but still, Paul's being very serious about the call to honor what God's given us and the gift that it is. The words that are being used, Jesus is Lord, so continue to obey the Lord your God and be serious about it. This walk is work, and the work is serious, and it's going to cost you. It's not just all about getting paid. So the question I guess I'm asking is, am I working out what God has given to me? Do we take it seriously? Or is it more like a suggestion? There's a lot of things in our life that we just take as suggestions. You know, I have a friend that called me and said, "Hey, I need a new doctor. Do you have any recommendations?" They know that I've been pretty involved in the medical field for the last 4 years, going to a lot of doctors and everything. And I was like, "Yeah, I have a great doctor, but I know the doctor you go to, and they're really good too. I really like them. I've met them before. So why are you looking for a new doctor?" And I said, "I really don't like them." I said, "Do you mind me asking why?" I said, "Every time I go, they tell me I need to lose weight." I was like, "Well, okay. That's a really good suggestion. That probably helped. Why do they keep telling you that?" "Well, they said it's the cause of all the issues I've been having." Like, it's probably a good idea to listen. I think the doctor that I'm going to recommend to you is probably going to tell you the same thing. "I don't like it." All right. The things that God tells us to do, they aren't suggestions. They aren't just good ideas. They're God ideas. When Rachel and I prayed for our home, we weren't praying for a good home. We weren't praying for a good price. We weren't praying for a good realtor. We were praying for a God price, a God home, and a realtor that God placed in our lives. I'll never forget that. Our realtor, I could pretty much call her mom. Her name's Barb. Our home that we bought was marked sold for months on the internet. It said that it had no air conditioning. It was sold online. Nobody else was able to look at it. We got called by our realtor and said, "Hey, do you want to go look at a house?" We had nowhere else to look. So, yep, let's go. We walked in. I said, "This house is sold." And she said, "No, the realtor's old. They don't know how to update the internet." I said, "But there's no air conditioning. There's full house air. They just put it in." "Yes. When can we move in?" "It's perfect. They want to move quickly. They're liquidating all their assets."
"Yes."
"We don't want to have an inspection. I have people that I can bring in to look at it." "Okay, let's move quick." Brought in a plumber that I'm very, very close with. Not Cheddar. Didn't know Cheddar yet. He came in and said, "Nick, I've never told somebody this before, but if you were my son, I would say buy the house." His wife called and said, "Nick, he's never told anyone that in 25 years. God realtor, God price, God house." When we are walking together, and we obey him, amazing thing happen. So, here we go. Proverbs 8:13. "All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech." Church, We're walking this out today so that we can all move forward and not just have good suggestions in our lives, but have God suggestions, God ideas. God, move us forward. So, let's get really specific, because I know sometimes when you read the Bible, you feel like there's gray areas and you don't understand. God is really specific in this area about what he hates. And I love how clear he is in this area. So let's go to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. You ready? Have none of you heard me preach before? I like when I ask questions that y'all answer. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Here we go. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things. Everybody say six things.
Six things.
The Lord hates. As a matter of fact, no, there's seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. Pretty clear. Let's unpack them. The first one, haughty eyes. You know, we think about this one and we think that it's all about what we look at, a wandering eye. But it's not. It's not just about what we take in. It's also about our arrogance. And are we walking in arrogance? How do we think about ourselves? Are we walking in pride? Proverbs is a book of poetry, and it falls under the genre of wisdom literature, considering the literary context. Therefore, haughty eyes is a figure of speech. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. How do you see yourself and how do you see others? Are you puffing yourself up and putting others down? In another word, pride. Pride will kill us. It'll knock you down. Pride needs removed, and it'll be removed one way or another. Either we allow God to do it, or he's going to do it. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. Either you do it slowly, and it hurts really bad, or you just let it happen, and it hurts. But then you're good. Here we go. Second one's pretty self-explanatory. Am I right or am I lying? See what I did there? Y'all catch it? Jody's really quick today. Jody and Kurt are just locked in. They're just locked in. But a lying tongue, is what's coming out of your mouth honest? You know, it's interesting. Lennon, our son, I never taught him to lie. I never taught him. Never said, hey, son, sit down. I got something I need to teach you how to do. He just did it. He was born with it. You all were born with it. I was born with it. It's just something that's in us. Anybody want to take a guess of Lennon's first lie? Anybody want to take a shot? It's a good one. Yeah. It wasn't me. That's a good one. It was just one simple word. No. That was the word. But it was in result of a question. It was, Lennon, did you poop? No. Mm-mm. Meanwhile, he's covered in his own stink and filth, and everybody knows it's a lie. Bold-faced lie. Horrible liar. We all still do it. Not physically. I hope there's no grown adults in this room that still lie about that. Some of us wear it as a badge of honor, like, hey, never mind. You've all been there. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Guys are the best at it, though. How you doing? I'm good. Meanwhile, you're covered in all the crap you've been carrying. All the stink that the world's been putting on you. And you lie about it. Ladies do it too. Guys, I'm not just going to pick on guys. It's harder for ladies to get to a point where they have relationships where they could be really open and honest. I don't know what it is. It's something that the enemy's created, especially within the church. I can meet a guy and we're good. We're best friends real quick. I'm really good at that. I got to stop doing it, actually, because I can't have 1,000 best friends. I learned that a few years ago. And then I've seen people. But how do we get our stink off? Thank you for asking. Victory and freedom is a great time to do it. We get free of the stink that sometimes we put on, sometimes the enemy's just thrown at us. And we get unified with other like-minded men and women that are going to help us learn how to fight and help us learn how to get this stuff off of our lives that we've been carrying around. It's designed to help us understand that we don't have to lie anymore about where we're at or where we've been and all these things that we've picked up along the way. Get rid of our stinking thinking. Because God hates a lying tongue. There's many other verses included on this and foolish speaking and also how our tongue can be like a cancer, like a sword that pierces. Lennon, the other day, his devotion was out of Peter, and Rachel was teaching him that his tongue could be dangerous. And he remembered it. And Rachel was telling him something later that day. And he's like, Mama, your words are dangerous to me. So we have to work on his theology a little bit. But he was remembering. Shedding of innocent blood. This one's pretty clear too. It breaks God's heart and he hates the killing of the innocent. When we look at America in 2023, the greatest shedding of innocent blood is obviously abortion. And we are very pro-life at Bridge City Church. And can only imagine how loud the cry of 64 million is and would be. And how that breaks God's heart and should obviously break ours. God hates the plotting of evil. A heart that devises evil plans. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. This covers a wide range. But what are you plotting? Are you plotting thefts, false witness, blasphemy, murder, adultery? Purposefully doing these things God hates the intentional plan of evil. To plan to take advantage of somebody. To plan to take advantage of a contractor or a customer. To plan to get high or to get drunk or to feed any sinful behavior. To plan to humiliate someone or to hurt someone. God hates feet that race to do wrong. You know, as Christians, we can just skip over this one. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean to, like, run a marathon? That was a joke. You could laugh at that one. You're getting it now. You're getting it now. My mother-in-law's like, I knew he was going to make a running joke. We've been cycling a lot. And Jim Poston's been cycling a lot. He's like, I don't care what you tell me. He's getting rid of his motorcycle pretty much because he rides his pedal bike more. And he loves it. He's having a lot of fun. And he said, I don't care what you tell me. I will never run. I don't care how much you tell me it's fun. I'll never do it. It is my life's goal to get him to run a 5K. It's going to happen. November. The enthusiastic plan to complete or have involvement in things that dishonor God. This happens when we know what to do, but we choose not to do it. Like I said, the average Christian will ignore this verse as irrelevant because usually evil deeds are actions that we label as wicked or morally wrong, but the author of Proverbs is also referring to the common wrongdoings that bring pain to all concerned. Here we go. Such activities that include, but are not limited to, gossip, rebellion, the assassination of character. They create wounds that could last a lifetime. Here's an example. I can't wait to get home to tell so-and-so. I can't wait to post that on Facebook. Oh, I can't wait to write that review. Oh, let me talk to the manager. That was a funny one too. You could laugh at that one. I can't wait. They treated me so wrong. Let me make this very clear. If you say that you fear God and that you are a Christian and your life is going to represent that, make sure it's representing that when you have a Bridge City shirt on. Or a Bridge City hoodie on. Or a Bridge City sticker on the back of your car. Or your last post on Facebook was that you were at Bridge City Church and your next post on Facebook is something way different. I'm being honest. People are watching. A false witness who pours out lies. It's interesting. God talks about lying twice. I think he doesn't like that. A person who sows discord in a family. Family's important. God does not like people that create dissension in families. And it doesn't just have to be flesh and blood. This is family. We experience family every Sunday morning. We have a huddle where everybody that's serving gets together. We talk about what's happened. We celebrate birthdays in that room. If your birthday falls on a Sunday, if it doesn't fall on a Sunday, yeah, too bad. I'm just kidding. But that's family in this room. It's a big family reunion. We say this is a family reunion because you people over here have no idea there's people on the right and everybody else is just stuck in the middle. But we want you to experience family. That's why connection groups are so important. That's why what I shared with Sean about connection groups. If you didn't get signed up for a group last week, you can still do so at the connection point. The group slide's going to pop up behind me. You can get all the groups online on the website. But connection groups are so important because family's important. Family's important to God. He hates when families are broke down. He hates that. Here's an example of family. You ready? Two people are ready. So the two people that answered are invited. Everybody ready to hear about how important family is? Here we go. Jim Poston, he's sitting right over there. Been coming to the church a year and 3 months. tomorrow's his 35th wedding anniversary. Huh? 30. Sorry, I added 5 years. Tomorrow. You all are invited. He and Lisa are going to be renewing their wedding vows today after the second worship experience. So you're invited to a wedding you didn't know. Go grab a gift. That's family. They're going to stand right here. And they're going to renew their vows. They're going to stand before God. You know why? Because the first time Jim stood before God and said those vows, he didn't really know what he was saying. He knows God fully now. And he's man enough to say it. He's excited. He doesn't know all of you. You don't all know him. Well, you do now. But you're invited. There might not be enough cake for all of you. But that's what family looks like. And God loves a family that's united, moving in one direction, pulling in the same path, in sync. Setting the spiritual temperature, right? At what temperature? 98 degrees. There we go. And your anniversary was in what month? It was September. That's a good one, right? God hates false witness, giving false testimony, the discord. Let's read Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Is there any encouragement belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Church, we need to be united together, looking for every possible way to eradicate sin in our lives so that we can move forward. To take sin captive, get rid of it once and for all, and declare war on our sin. What's the result? A greater obedience, a greater holiness. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I don't know about you all, but I want to be overtaken by blessings. I want his church to be overtaken by blessings. I want the marriages within Bridge City Church to be overtaken by blessings. I want the children of Bridge City Church to be overtaken by blessings. I want the students of Bridge City Church to be overtaken by blessings. You know, Ashley Mercedes, who's our office administrator at Bridge City Church, Samuel's on our worship team. Ashley leads our prayer team here at Bridge City Church, the White Oak campus. Their son, Sammy, been dealing with asthma and a little rough go recently. And last night he had 4 asthma attacks. He was up all night. Ashley was supposed to be here early leading prayer. And she texted earlier this morning that they weren't going to be able to be here and she was going to stay home because Sammy needed to sleep. These are the kids that are being raised in your church. Sammy woke up and was angry and yelled that he wasn't coming to church. Ashley's here and Sammy's here. Not because Ashley wanted to be here so much as Sammy did. Because he didn't want to miss church. He's feeling a little better now. You can clap. It's okay. It's great to honor God. But those are the blessings that are falling upon the children of this church. They just can't wait to be a church. They can't wait to be together. They can't wait to be unified with each other. Can't wait to pray with each other. And it's not because Sammy's just running around, running amok. He just wants to be united with others. It's amazing. Blessings are easy. Obey his commands and God will lift you up. Blessings of God will overtake you. Obedience is the only key that unlocks those things. So here's our final conclusion. God hates sin, for it robs his sons and daughters. All those things that were listed in Proverbs, God hates those things, they're sins, and those things will rob you of blessings, and God doesn't want his sons and his daughters to get robbed. He doesn't want you to get held up by the enemy. So here's the action plan. Acknowledge God is good. Ask God to examine your life. When he examines your life, repent of those things. Declare war on your sin. Take a daily spiritual inventory. And whenever you get rid of those things that you know you need to get rid of, because you're all smart people, celebrate those victories with the people that are in your connection group. Celebrate those victories with the people that you go to Victory and Freedom with. When I sit down with people and they tell me the things that are going on in their life, my first response is, what do you think you need to do now? And every single person knows exactly what to do. They just needed somebody to sit across the table with them and listen to them and hear them out. Psalm 1:1-3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Favor isn't fair. They prosper in everything. You ever seen somebody, you're like, why do they always get that? I know people that by the world's standards look poor, but by the kingdom standards, they're billionaires. Billionaires. With a B. I know some trillionaires too. What's after trillion? Anybody know? Gazillion? Is gazillion a real number? You sure? Look it up. I guarantee gazillion's a real number. Is it? Please tell me it is, because I'm being recorded. Somebody that's way smarter than me, figure it out. What's after trillion? Did someone tell me that? Quadrillion? It's probably what our national debt is. Somebody knows. Gazillion's not real? It should be. It will be. It should be real. It is in the kingdom. It's how much money I have in the kingdom. Gazillion. Listen, guys. I'm a visual learner. I talked about repenting. A lot of us have no idea what that means. Some of us, we just put that off the side. I've done that. I'm good. Everybody remember what this is? What is it? Knowing God, fearing God. So many of us are stuck right here. I know who he is. I fear him a little bit because my grandma used to take me to church. We'd go on Christmas and Easter. I'm a Creaster. I fear him a little bit, but I know he'll forgive me. I know a little bit, but I know people who know a lot more, so I'm good. but you've never had a moment where all that he has for you became yours. So listen, there are people that are here ready to pray with you, encourage you, equip you, challenge you, and help you walk through the gospel. But this is what it is, church. You need to take your knowledge of God and your fear of God and have a moment at the cross and take it all there and have a moment with Jesus where you fully repent and ask him for his forgiveness and understand fully what he's given to you. Not just know about him and fear him a little bit, but fully believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord and be saved from eternal damnation and have eternal life with him. And become a gazillionaire because you're going to be walking on streets of gold. Do you have a day, a time, a place where you have received the cross? If you don't, if you've never been walked through the gospel, if somebody's never prayed salvation with you, let today be your day. Don't allow fear to hold you back. There are people that are ready to pray with you, encourage you, help you walk through that. And I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't know. Listen, you're not promised tomorrow. As a matter of fact, you're not promised this afternoon. You better know where you're going. Anyone at all today that needs to know that they know that they're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Anyone at all today, don't let this moment pass. I know your heart's beating fast. Fear, an unhealthy fear to keep you from him. Maybe you've received him before, but you tried to return it, and today could be your day that you come back home. Anyone at all? Father God, I thank you so much for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. Lord, we come before you as your children, and we just pray to use us outside of these walls to share your gospel, to share your cross. Use us, Lord, use our lives to be a representation of the gospel to people. Lord, we pray for more and more salvations. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, I knew that we were going to have an extended worship time this morning with prayer. So I'm going to begin.